Podlita.
Working models who are working.
Captions crunch.
Podlita.
Conspiracy theory.
Top model math.
Podlita. That's not very elegant. So nice to wear. Hello and welcome to Podlitum. What is that? It's Top Model Podcast spelled backwards. My name is Hannah Jane Ginsburg, and I'm going to give you a hug for many reasons.
Son of a gun.
Sorry, it was the best line of the episode.
So mad. I never do a tire at the end. Okay. I'm Jada B. Crump, and are you ready to see your best jock?
And I'm Alexander Price, and what is on the topping of this human pizza?
And we are here today to steal each other's quotes and to talk about Cycle 13, Episode 3, Fortress of Fierceness.
Yikes.
Which we never even see.
Nope.
Or what I called the girls who become pawns in a branding scheme.
And if you'd like to become a pawn in our branding scheme.
Absolutely. You can go to anchor.fm/podlitum. Once again, anchor.fm/podlitum. And y'all have been doing some new sponsorships, so much so that we got to do a twofer, a double-double today. And it's a horror icon and then a horror icon, but also a sitcom icon to me, because you've got a Sydney, perfect, and a Blair. All right. And me and Hannah discussed this beforehand. Yes. I think Blair, Facts of Life, Lisa Welchel.
I think Blair Waldorf, Leighton Meester forever.
Yeah. Both great Blairs. Sydney, Blair, amazing names. And I don't think either of those were ever top model, although I do think that maybe Sydney was one of those four
Britney's
Barbie dolls.
Ooh.
I know that one was Sienna, and I feel like Sydney was one too. I could be wrong about that though, but Sydney, Blair, thank you. And
were
any
they
few...
all cities that were also names?
All that explains Salt Lake.
I think it was Salt Lick.
Cynthiana. And you can go to anchor.fm/podlitum to join Blair and Sydney. Now, y'all, this episode, we're getting into it. We've at least got previously on again. So, Hannah, that boat. You can still,
the ship
of course.
Come to shore.
Yeah.
We've come to join you.
I had to go back. On.
Hey. Previously on Agrees with Alexander, Lisa failed to charm.
Very straightforward in that episode.
And then all I said was, oh, like Alexander would say, she wasn't a charmer. I'm not saying she was a charmer.
I know I didn't get to talk about the credits last week because on Amazon they did not show them. But there are two things I want to talk about. One of which is the new snippets of words that we got this cycle.
Yeah.
Cycle 13. Tyra found 14 petite models.
Oh, yeah.
5'7" and under. Get ready.
The get ready is strong.
Yeah. I thought there was going to be more, honestly.
You think?
The best part's Tyra found, because it just sounds like they were these rare unicorns of folks, even though these are such average.
We're like Oliver Twist orphans.
I thought it sounded like somebody set up like an Easter egg hunt for Tyra.
And she had to shake the egg to figure out if they were under 5'7".
Oh my God, there were two in the bathroom cabinet. I found one and I didn't think there would be a second one.
And y'all, what day of the week was that on? Sunday.
Speaking of Sunday, why did they give her her best makeover in the credits and never again?
I'll also say, and this is consistent, cycle by cycle, everyone looks pretty darn good in the opening credits. And it's kind of funny to me that the opening credits aren't judged in any way, because everyone looks, it just kind of proves that all of them are pretty gorgeous and plausible when they're given the chance to be.
Sunday was apparently supposed to be Mia Farrow in Rosemary's Baby. Because she looks amazing.
She does.
Yeah.
You know, it's a bad time if we see storyline from a previous episode inserted into this episode, because we have Rachel in a makeover rag talking about how she was a Walmart cashier.
So it turns out she's Petite Shandy.
Yes.
Yeah, we found the one-to-one comparison. And man, this is thick, tough to cut through foreshadowing for Rachel when she's like, you got to expect anything. And I'm like, oh no, Rachel.
That was my other favorite quote that I almost did. I think we all learned that no one can expect anything. Top model nihilism. Who said this? Top model or Nietzsche?
Courtney is also in the foreshadowing group when she's like, this week I'm getting out of this boot.
She's going to take it to the next level. What's that? An injured foot with a wrap on it.
Can we talk about Ray's photo quotes?
Please.
We have ray of sunshine, dreamy, and broken down doll. And the weirdest part about these quotes is that they take up literally half the TV upon which the digital art is displayed. And I was like, are they just trying to make her look even more petite?
One of them is in pink for no reason. My quote was aspiration tumbler.
Mine was, oh, please, God, let her sit down.
I don't think I can add to that.
I will say this, though. Ray of sunshine and dreamy don't like those together. Why? Because that's impossible to do at the same time. Yep. Too much sunshine? I can't sleep.
What if you're a little puppy sleeping in a ray of sunshine?
Aww. Kicking that leg.
That's the true broken down doll. One dog. Broken down dog.
In an episode where Tyrons are doing everything, it starts when they re-show us Courtney's injury and it says home video from the bottom.
This wasn't produced for Top Model.
Okay. There was something about this video that either they didn't show before or I didn't notice. And that is, after she breaks her foot, she hops back to then prep to get lifted and or thrown into the air.
I think they showed a little bit more of it, but yes, yeah, she does this and then runs to just keep doing the routine.
Hops on one foot.
If they didn't win, what a waste.
Absolutely. And I love the I like the safe in general for Tyra males because it does have them go to a very specific place in the house to do this. And there is something fun about watching that big door open for a tiny, regular sized Tyra male. And I think it was Kara who read this one.
Yes.
And they were furious that Kara did not say Tyra at the end.
Hey, I'm just going to do this every episode, Hannah. When are you sick of the short jokes? Because
you just go in knowing.
Sure.
And honestly, I kind of like that all the puns at least sort of make sense.
Sure.
I do want to bring up a storyline that the show has chosen to ignore for now by noting that Nicole is cuddled up with Rachel and is clearly making friends with people.
Maybe that's who she was talking to last episode, who they cropped out.
Maybe.
Yeah, honestly. Nicole, I think, is like, oh, I have something in common with some people in this house. Also, it's probably better to make a couple of friends than to just be on my Chase lounge alone the entire time. It's not viable long term.
I'm also here for these contestants not even trying to figure out what the challenge is going to be.
No, they're like, oh, it was a short joke. Got it. We'll figure it out.
Someone yells riddles. I don't know who.
Sunday, I hope.
No, Sunday yells something crazy.
Sunday has got to be. She's not our narrator, but man, she can punctuate a scene and set up one.
She's our punch.
In a funny way. She also weirdly hates cursing, which I find very endearing. There's a lot of darns, a lot of shoots. I like
it. We'll get
it.
A freaking soon, yeah. I'm sure. Mm-hmm. So we head to Wilhelmina Models. And how much do you guys know about Wilhelmina Models and its history?
Not much.
Nah.
Well, when you go to Wilhelmina.com, you head to what would be their About Me page. It's actually called Our Legacy. And there is a video that I must play for the two of you.
In real time?
In real time.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait.
Here we go.
Once upon a time, there was a young and ambitious girl who believed in the power of reinvention. Ooh. To create her own image and change the definition of beauty around the world with a company that still bears her name. On May 1st, 1939, Gertrude Bemenberg is born in Culemborg, Netherlands, under the sign of Taurus, strong and determined to a butcher and his wife.
Whoa.
Once upon a time, Gertrude grows taller, but life in Oldenburg, Germany, yep, where the family had moved after the war, was hard. And so, in 1954, at age 15, her family moved to Chicago to Striking at 5'11", she attends modeling school in Chicago under the name Winnie Hart. Once upon a time, Winnie visits New York, where she meets Eileen Ford.
Ford, model management.
She is told she can't model with those hips. Ford sends her to Paris to refine her look.
To Winnie lose is her no hips? Longer.
Yes.
Wilhelmina is born. She appears on 280 magazine covers.
Oh, wow.
Including a record 26 Vogue covers. The butcher's daughter, who understood the power of pose and mystique, becomes the most photographed model of the 60s.
Well, dang.
Once upon a time. But just when you think she's got it all, she reinvents herself again.
Again.
Oh.
She falls in love with the producer of The Tonight Show, Bruce Cooper, and in 1965, they marry. 2 years later, Wilhelmina leave modeling at the height of stardom to launch her own agency.
I love that hand.
That cigarette
in America were owned by women. Fiercely determined, she champions the notion comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors, and that flawed
Grace
beauty
Jones,
is often
Jones
the most
was sizes, by the way,
once
for some
upon
reason.
A time. This passion had made Wilhelmina Models the hottest agency in the 1970s, placing this smart cookie as the first businesswoman to grace the cover of Fortune magazine.
Oh.
Once upon a time. Time is not fair. And just as things are growing, Wilhelmina develops a cough.
Oh my god, the flower petal.
In 1980.
A cough.
Leaving behind a husband and two small children.
Oh. Oh.
Her spirit is alive today in the agency that she founded 50 years ago. Wilhelmina would be proud to know that every 3 minutes,
sounds
a model
like
is being booked on a job somewhere in the world through her namesake agency. Once upon a time, a young girl's belief in the power of recreation inspires a new generation today.
Wow.
Well, Alexander, we know what you're going to lip sync at brunch.
Once upon a time.
I love that she died of a cough.
Yep, we don't know what she died of, but just a cough.
Well, that's because she knew about the power of mystique.
You got really tricked by that video because they kept implying tragedy earlier and then it'd be a good thing. Once again, she had to change. So she opened up an agency and you're like, oh.
Oh, okay.
Or she went to live in Germany, but didn't move until 1954.
It's like all these...
Recreation.
Every time I just saw recreation and then I have to be like, oh no, they're going to say recreation.
Oh yeah, recreation, yeah. Fantastic. I wish we met her instead of Sean Patterson.
Oh, right? Yeah.
This is the man who's carrying on a legacy of class and mystique.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Also, Nigel's there because Paulina isn't anymore. And so they
didn't also thought that. Yeah.
Fashion photographer, according to his Tyron. That's important.
Did we not practice this entrance? Because Sean Patterson opens the door, holds the door the entire time, as though it's the only thing anchoring him to this reality. And then is like, all right, come in for interviews.
To be fair, Sean Patterson prefers to be in only the whitest of rooms. And I mean the decor. Mm. This room is not eggshell enough for Sean Patterson.
Also, we're told that Tyra went to 6 agencies before she booked, and her height is 5'10". Those are false dichotomies.
No, no. And I'll say this. They wanted that to be, it took her forever. I don't think 6 agencies sounds like that long of a, like a day,
trip
for Tyra.
Like, in your performing career, if you only had to see 6 agents before you got signed with a major one.
Y'all, we might not have a feather earring. Mm-hmm. We might not have like a hat house, but we have one thing that every woman in this house loves to do, and that is hands over mouth, hands on cheeks, and every single reaction. But
one
these girls love to cover their mouths.
One of my favorite blogs, when someone has that reaction of putting their hands over their mouth and nose, calls it the beauty queen gas mask.
They're doing that all the time. And Jennifer starts hard because Jennifer glues her hands to the side of her face. And I like to imagine they don't actually leave until someone is eliminated. She's just shocked.
It's the Home Alone generation.
Let me tell you about Sean Patterson. Ugh. Okay. Oh, yeah. Get ready.
All I know is that he calls women sweetheart and I was out.
Oh, I wish it ended there. Sean Patterson was interviewed by The Advocate in 2010. I'm not going to read the whole interview, but I am going to read select quotes. Fans may know him better from VH1's The Agency, TV Land's She Got the Look, and guest appearances, which I don't like the pluralization of that, on America's Next Top Model. Also, the lucky guy that Fergie recently fingered as her, quote, gay BFF.
Oh.
joining a panel of judges that includes Candy Spelling, poker pro Vanessa Russo, and Melanie Thornton from the Pussycat Dolls. I can't tell you which one that is. Patterson now gives away cash to the most deserving dreamers on Bank of Hollywood, a new e-game show from Ryan Seacrest. Advocate, what makes you qualified to be on Bank of Hollywood judging panel? They were looking for someone to be a grim dose of reality that only an agent can deliver. I can smell when something's fishy. Basically, I was there to make sure nobody ripped us off. Then they talk about two people that they denied money. The first one is Latrice Royale for Miss Gay USA at Large. He said that the reason they didn't give Latrice money was there was some baggage that came along with Latrice. She'd gone to jail and had some other things in her past that I thought were questionable. We had to be careful to only give it away to the most deserving people.
Yikes.
Then cool. They asked, but you also refused Maya Jaffer, the Indian trans woman who wanted money for facial feminization surgery. Well, that concerned me because it's very painful, very dangerous operation. So I thought we needed to give serious thought to giving somebody the money to go do something they may regret or that could kill them. Because money won't solve some of these people's issues. For some, it's more of a psychological issue than it is a material issue. But yikes. I still think I was a strong voice for gay and transgender people. And you'll see that in an upcoming episode when I make a dramatic statement about the discrimination that gays go through. We learned that the money, because they asked, where does the money come from? And it's like, well, it comes from us because the fact that our fees for appearing on the show are what we give away. So if we don't give our money away, we keep it.
What?
Mm-hmm. You know, I will say, premise wise, I would like to host a game show where in a win Ben Stein's money situation, I just keep the money if they lose. That doesn't sound like that's what this is.
No.
Can you imagine wanting to self-describe as a grim dose of reality?
Last thing, he talks about Candy Spelling. And he says, we talked about everything under the sun, and she can get off color too, which I love. She told me one story about a dinner party when Tori was a kid that's so off color, I can't even repeat it. Why bring that up? That sounds horrible.
Yeah.
Anyways, he's a terrible person, and we will learn that through his appearance on the show.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it's nice to have a back to basics person who seems like a slime also be a slime. I didn't have to go on some journey with Sean Patterson like I've had to with some other folks on the show.
Nope.
There wasn't.
We got it.
Whatever. What's the opposite of multidimensional? One dimensional? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So monodimensional. Love it. Mm. He flew from New York.
He makes it seem like it's such an imposition for him to be there.
Yeah, kind of. Luckily, Sunday's here to palate cleanse with, surprise, we're doing a dang interview.
And like, thank you, Sunday, for telling us what we're actually doing here.
Yeah, because they weren't clear about that at all.
No.
Well, it's not like they have books yet.
That's so true. I didn't even think about that. I did see on the table, there's just some random shots and their makeover shots in the rope bikini things. Ooh. Ooh.
This whole thing felt very much like me, Sean Patterson, at Wilhelmina Models, get to veto someone.
Yeah,
absolutely.
He asked really hard-hitting questions like, Lulu, where are you from, honey? And ask someone, I can't remember who, about who their favorite fashion photographer is.
No, that's still Lulu.
Still Lulu. Oh, okay. Lulu has a mess of an interview.
Yeah.
And Sean and Nigel aren't great, but it is so weird for Lulu to say how much they like fashion.
But not
but
have
then
reference.
Don't look at magazines, don't know any photographers.
Don't like photographers. Like, just say the last person you worked with.
She don't remember his name.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I do like that the Tyron doing so much work.
So much work.
Flashes Nigel Barker's fashion photographer when Lulu can't think
as
of a photographer.
Lulu can see it.
Yes, exactly. Like the Tyron's like, come on over here, Lulu.
Jennifer continues to surprise me as the star of this cycle for me so far.
Absolutely.
Did not remember just how likable and engaging she was. She also tells us, and this is going to be the start of a big, long storyline for Jennifer, that she has ptosis. I believe that's how you pronounce it.
Yep. Yeah,
which sounds like a loss of muscular strength around one of her eyes.
Yeah, that can cause like occlusion. And,
then
I think later she
room,
describes that she's had surgery and some other stuff. Yeah.
When she leaves the room, Sean Patterson and Nigel immediately agree that it's a lazy eye.
Yep.
Which the thing they're describing is not that.
No.
And B, it just made me realize what a terrible fucking phrase that is, because it puts this negative control connotation on a medical problem. It's like, oh, if your eye just worked harder, you wouldn't have a problem. Honestly, what the fuck is wrong with society?
Yeah, and it's a phrase I've said like a lot to describe.
But you always use it in a positive way.
Oh, exclusively in a positive way. But it did kind of, but to Hannah's point, I've never like had it kind of, I think it's the first time that something that I've said, probably even on the podcast, was said only by Sean Patterson and Nigel Barker. And I was like, it made me need to explore.
I was gotta like, re-examine this.
Oh, I should re-examine this.
Well, and also he's like, she can't work.
Courtney needs to re-examine her choices because...
I'm sorry, before we get into that, JW, I just have to say, the fact that Nigel says, you can't work squinting your whole career, and we're about to get an entire episode about smiling with your eyes is just incredible. Incroyable.
It's so great. It's like no one tells Nigel what the next thing, the theme of the week's gonna be.
Nigel doesn't know nothing. He also thinks that agents are people's bosses and not their employees, which is the opposite.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That we have bosses. They're called clients. We've been over this before in Top Model lore. Courtney decides to walk in heels, and she comes in heels because she's trying to prove a point.
Mm-hmm.
But then on top of that, knowing her injury, they're like, well, what if we ask you to walk right now? She's like, I would. And then they make her do it, and they're like proud of her. And I get a little bit that they're trying to be like, and you push through the pain. But I'm like, she shouldn't have had to, though.
No.
And
well,
it
the
seems
episode
like...
is going to contradict itself real quick on that front.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, you push through the pain until there's a horse involved.
Honestly, that is how I live my life.
This whole interview process feels like it's in its own vacuum dimension where everything they tell them is wrong. Because then Rachel comes in and...
fully changed clothes, yep, by the way.
Mentions that she did
musical.
They
ask her if she has any experience with acting. And she says, just like some musical theater, which leads me to believe that she did a musical in middle school.
Sure.
Yes.
But she's trying to come across like she has experience because they specifically asked her. And she's like, what can I say that's truthful?
And then Nigel asks her, okay, then sing for us.
Have you got a little song up your sleeve?
Why would she? Why is this important?
Yeah, and she's not prepared, but she's not prepared because why on earth would you be prepared to sing in a modeling interview? And not only that, a modeling interview that you didn't know you were going to have. I credited Rachel with realizing that her top she had on wasn't the best model basic and changing. I was like, oh, Rachel's trying. She gets, I do like that the editors gave Rachel's eyeballs their own guitar riff. Because when she like bugs out her eyes in her confessional, goes, wow. Also, Sean is so stupid. Sorry. It is so stupid for them to walk, but walk away from them all to this window.
To pose at the curtain.
Every single one
Why are they not at the end of that stupid hallway?
Exactly.
And Sean is like, oh, Bianca is too severe. No, she's not. She's not at all.
No.
Because she has a shaved head.
Yeah, you can't be short and have a shaved head, apparently. That's just too much.
Very coded language.
Mm-hmm.
That read like that to me, too.
But that's okay, because the best models in the world are rejected every single day.
This was my only thing I liked about Sean was the phrase, every single day is a model's rejection.
Because I'm doing it.
I kind of want to say that to myself in the mirror every day. Just every single day is a model's rejection, JW.
Right after you tell yourself you're beautiful.
That's your new positive affirmation.
The secret.
Like mine is canonically gringa puerca.
Yes.
Exactly. I like Aaron's response to the impossible to answer question, what will you do if modeling doesn't work out? Because Aaron says something honest, but not too overconfident, which is, I don't want this to not work out.
Yeah, but that crazy is bubbling underneath.
It's so ready to explode.
Right now, it's just a broth of crazy, though. She hasn't added all the ingredients.
It's wafting out, but it hasn't come to full boil yet.
It's when you come into a room and you're like, oh my God, that smells great. What are you cooking? It's just onions. Just onions.
So Sean comes in back to the lobby and says the phrase, there's no easy way for me to say what I'm about to say to one of you guys.
But you're also saying it to everyone.
Uh-huh. One of you doesn't have what it takes to be a Wilhelmina model.
Dun, dun, dun. All of the hands go over the mouth. And then I think it's Courtney who says this, which is, oh, we thought this was a challenge where there'd be a winner.
Uh-huh. Because of course you did.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you think that?
But I will say this is one of the cruelest things that shows ever done. Yeah. Because we've had some like Hannah from Alaska got eliminated outside a panel. I generally hate it. I do. Sure, I just don't like
but
it.
That was
they
at
don't
least like six she episodes knew. In.
Oh, I hate it in any reality show. You know what? I hate elimination quickfires.
Mm, exactly. Bye. I do not like it. But also, I don't like that specifically with this one, they didn't know that. Mm-hmm. At least if I remember correctly, Hannah from Alaska knew that after that show, someone would be eliminated.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they told them.
The stakes, they had time to emotionally prepare for the stakes of this.
But also, that was related to their ability.
Yeah.
This was
not just you couldn't think of a song and I don't like you.
And this petite man who is so rude gets to just decide who is no longer here. So Rachel's eliminated.
And I felt for her.
Oh my God.
She was so
And then they're just like, bye, go
she
walk
she
to
feels
the car
like she's
park.
Gonna be sick. And then they put Nigel up to the task of comforting her, which comes out as you're a beautiful girl, you're a young girl.
And also eventually he's just like, so we do have to gotta get you off that couch though. Like she's like kind of not moving. He's like, okay, well we are done.
And then once she's gone, Sean says we want to represent people who have some sort of personality there. Look, you eliminated her, okay? Leave the poor girl alone.
It's the equivalent of that Simpsons meme of stop, he's already dead.
Yes.
Although I will say, Jennifer basically says, fuck Rachel right afterwards. Jennifer comes around and is like, you know what? I'm safe, so I am fine. So let me just say, Rachel didn't know her. Don't care. And I think that's kind of hilarious.
Ever
I
loved like you. Bye.
Full Mariah Carey. No, I don't know her.
I like it when Jennifer's Philly comes out just a little bit. I also, Sunday. Oh, I know we all like Sunday. I know we all... We were already on the weekly journey of Sunday, right? Yes. Where
we were all open to the Sunday sermon.
Yes, exactly. But when she...
I'm ready for the Sunday funnies.
When they get... And she gives a lot of... When they get the next tire bell. And then after they read it, she says, y'all wait 30 minutes and there'll be another one saying someone's going home. It's a rare time that a top model contestant makes... as good, if not a better joke than any of us outside the show could have made. I was like, hey, she's doing the work of the podcast at that point.
But also, Ty Revolt, Bianca sprints from the hot tub, ignoring
so
all safety rules.
They can't cover up Bianca having some fun with this.
Why did we need to bring back mirror models?
Oh, the mirror models.
Mirror models, stop it.
Okay, so there's a high week in getting it level coming. Coming on, but also before we talk about the definitely fake name Jean-Michel.
I'm sorry, Jean-Michel Baudon.
Yeah,
his name's Allons-y.
That is a David if I've ever seen one. That is a Daniel. That is a Derek. That is a Trevor.
His real name is Jordan Feldman.
Oh yeah, it is.
And he is a working actor who is acting because he's had parts in Will and Grace, Scrubs, Dirty Sexy Money, Entourage, Pushing Daisies, Parenthood, Modern Family, Mad Men, Don't Trust to Be in Apartment 23, Arrested Development, Shut Eye, Hollywood.
Good for him. I literally went to Sunday school with a Jordan Feldman. So
good.
Did you really? That's so funny. I love it. He was hilarious. And I'll say some of his great quotes in a little bit. But also, if you're listening to this episode of Podleetum and have not seen this episode yet, it's time.
Stop.
It's time. And I want everyone listening to this to emotionally prepare, because we are about to truly start the second half of the Top Model legacy, because it's finally arrived. If you haven't seen the show in a long time, you'll forget that the reveal of this
is this
couldn't be dumber.
Before we even get to the reveal of it, he gives me the best line any fake person on this show has given. Because it doesn't seem like this is part of the character. He just goes, "Is it bright in here? Hi." And then all of them are like, "Oh, we should take our glasses off."
That was just real shade.
Yes.
Oh, he does a bunch of those. I love Laura going, "This petite man is so rude."
Both petite men have been rude so far.
I was going to say, Alexander, like, Laura gave us such a good line that we just repeated it because it's so good.
Yeah.
And then he's insulting them. He tries to like fake photographs of. There's no film in this camera. There's no. There's not even a battery
one
in this camera.
Perfect picture in one shot.
And also, all these women have clearly seen the giant wind machine behind them.
And Clark Kent Tyra.
Clark Kent? Or Dr. Bruce Banner.
Who knows?
Oh, I guess true.
Dr. Bruce Kent. That's who this is.
With glass. It's the tiny glasses.
And the. And the hunch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tyra comes in a full trench coat, except it does not cover her costume at the bottom. So you can already see most of the reveal. And then he takes some pictures. She's doing geeky, bad character work. And then this fake photographer starts insulting the models
behind him. Not even Tyra, because it's like, oh, we can't really insult you.
Oh no.
He wasn't gonna make it to Scrubs if he did that.
It's time for yet another sketch where Tyra has to save petite women from a mean man
that she has hired.
A mean man who works for her. Yes.
So she takes off the trench coat and glasses.
Okay, saying takes off the trench coat is a kind way to describe that.
Yeah, JW, you are giving her too much credit. We know Tyra cannot easily take clothes off.
She's so bad if she undoes the belt and can't get out of the coat, necessitating a split second take where the coat is suddenly crumpled in the corner of the room.
How many takes did this take? Because there are so many camera angles. They have to do this four times. What is going on? I'm getting really angry. You won't like me when I'm angry. Slurring the whole time as though she's just come in out of the bar. Last call to this audition.
And then we learn something really important when the character of Super Smize is revealed.
It's
and the
you.
Most
yeah that Super he knows Smize. That he knows who she is. So actually Jordan Feldman created Smize.
Wait a second, y'all. We learned something important, which is which of these contestants are here to play the game, and which of these contestants, Brittany, are not here to play this game. Because Nicole, of all people, does a pretty legitimate line read of like, Super Smize was there and I was so relieved. And I was
does
like,
not
Nicole?
Laugh.
Doesn't no. laugh. No.
Doesn't laugh somehow. And then,
I'm sorry, are we just going to blow through past his monologue? Okay.
No, I just, Hannah, I got to have some order to this. It's so much. It's so overwhelming. So please give us that monologue as much as you have.
It's you, Super Smize. You can stomp the runway to dust with just one stump. You have the power to fiercely freeze in any pose. And the most lethal weapon in your arsenal is your ability to smize.
Why is so much of it killing people?
Why does she not ever smize during this whole thing? Because her thing of smize is just hands.
I just love that one of her abilities is freezing herself.
She's a super villain.
She is a super villain. I wrote down, wait, is Super Spies good or bad?
Oh, it's an anti-hero for sure. But it's like that, her power's like that Mario thing where it's the leaf, but also turns him into a statue.
Yes,
and
yes.
Just like for nothing. There are two great things that Jordan, I'll just call him Jordan now, yes. Says, what is, ow, my eye.
Yes.
Does it hurt his eye?
Yes.
He was not briefed.
And then, secondly, there's one he lets out that is in, I think, what is his real voice, where he goes, oh, hell no. Real gay. And I loved it.
The two I wrote down were, I want to look away, but I have to take a picture. And then his exit line, I've never seen such power in my life.
And he never will, unless you learn the power to smize. So wait, now, like, the lore of Super yeah. Smize.
Yeah, let's parse it out.
What's the origin story?
That she just was a nerd that got angry, because angry is actually very important to smizing.
Mm-hmm, 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 mm-hmm.
That she then became a supervillain to hurt people's eyes with her smize hands.
Well, I like to think of her as a daredevil type. Because you know how Daredevil only helps the people of Hell's Kitchen?
Mm-hmm.
Super Smize only helps petite women.
Women.
That's the only people she will say.
Be more powerful than any model, including those glamazon tall bitches out there.
Now she hates tall women.
We finally have the how to smize in 6 sickening steps.
Oh my God.
Number 1, feet shoulder width apart. Number 2, shoulders down as if somebody is going, ugh. Number 3, necks up, string coming out of the top of head. Number 4, squint, Nigel. Number 5, hand on tummy. Number 6, think of something delicious, like a hot fudge sundae or your boyfriend kissing your neck.
Was this supposed to be like a Time Warp style dance eventually?
Right, because none of this had anything to do with actually smizing. It seemed to be more about being tall.
We've learned the most important ingredient in smizing is food.
Yeah.
Food.
Yeah. I think 2 steps are important. Squint and think of delicious.
Sure.
And
makes it more for how to take a good picture with your friend.
These girls came to be weirdos.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
because
my God.
Their answers to some of these, what were you thinking about, are so stupid.
I love them. They are so specific and so wrong.
Because think about this. They were told 2 examples, food or sex.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And then the first one we see, I'm going to think that Brittany is Elf because she says, my cats.
They give you that warm feeling. I get it.
I just think she likes to eat them.
I can't believe Tyra kind of made a pussy joke.
She did. She walked backwards into it, though.
Yeah.
Okay, let's touch the cat. Ooh, that sounds a little gross, but we're talking about cats.
Purr.
This is where Brittany doesn't have time for it.
Yes.
And says, girls don't usually get one-on-one time from Super Smize.
That nervous chuckle at the end of just like, was that a good enough take?
Give me that sound your cat makes, but smile with your eyes.
Purr.
See, Amber's legacy lives on.
Jennifer's food.
Sheet cake.
And then Tyra says, not a cupcake. What the fuck does that mean?
Well, I'm sorry. I'm on Tyra's side for once, because when Jennifer said the worst of all possible cakes, I was just like,
I love that she's like, no. Like, Jennifer is committed to sheet cake.
Mm-hmm.
Grocery store sheet cake. Wah-wah sheet cake.
Yeah, I want to go to a store. I want it to have a fake family's picture on it. I want to buy it for $10. I want to eat it myself.
I want to open the tabs on 3 sides. I want to open the Entenmann's box.
Yes.
I want to scoop cake out of a little metal tray.
Smize, smize, smize.
Sunday says noodles. What flavor noodles? Beef.
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 Then Tyra doesn't know what she's talking about and says, do you know in Japan, the louder you slurp, the better it tastes? No. You slurp it to cool it. That but is also, why you
it,
slurp
it
noodles.
It is supposed to be like, I had heard, and maybe this is fully wrong, that it's like a compliment to the chef to slurp
it
loudly.
It is a compliment to the chef, but it is, it doesn't make it taste better.
Sure. Yeah, Tyra can't talk. We're not saying she could talk, but there was, I at least for once, kind of knew where she was coming from. Sure. Right before we get to the side eye of the century.
Oh my God.
Everyone else is watching Sunday, and Brittany is fully off to the left, standing in front of the fan. Brittany was hot and done.
Brittany is me.
Yeah.
Courtney is
Is on the topping of this human pizza?
So Super Smice is not human.
No.
Yeah, that's what lore to add out of nowhere.
So what's on the topping? Courtney politely ignores this.
Yes.
Says pepperoni. And then Tyra asks a question that I never knew to ask. Turkey pepperoni or real pork swine?
And then Courtney's eyes.
Well, the episode also does a music cue that I can't believe Tyra let them get away with.
I can't believe this whole shot got away. I was like, this is why Courtney gets eliminated. moment right here.
Let Alexander tell you about Hormel turkey bacon. A sizable portion of turkey pepperoni has just 70 calories compared to 150 in its full fat brother. However, it's still 50% fat and loaded with sodium. So Hormel is telling you, just eat the full fat. It's the same. Just eat the full fat. It tastes better and it has just as much sodium as this.
Y'all, as soon as we can get together, I'm going to bring my full fat brother with me.
I'll bring my skim brother.
Great.
And I'll bring my real pork swine.
So somehow, Tyra got sick of a bit.
So fast.
So quickly. This is gone, by the way. This is the last you'll see of Super Smize. And
not the last time she'll be referenced, though.
No.
Forever in our hearts.
The girls are contracted to reference her.
This hard cut to this repurposed set.
Is this from like the cycle 11?
The next time I see you will be in my fortress of fierceness, where you will battle it out to see who has the best smize.
Why was it not Fortress of Smizitude?
That's an excellent question.
That is an excellent question.
And then Tyra does some quick, pretty good improv. I'm going to give this improv to Tyra. Super Smize had to go on a run. Actually, she got a distress call from some girls who were taking their senior class portraits and didn't know how to smize. Not bad. Literally thinking it up on the spot.
Well, not bad. Thinking it up on the spot, you mean making a hard left turn when she's like, that's a dumb thing. Had to go on a run. No. Actually.
And all this while, the girls are in somehow different colors and shades of pink and purple full body suits, and we find out later they don't need to be in full body suits because the camera's only on their face.
All they needed was a reverse balaclava. Yes. They didn't need a body suit.
They didn't need full motion capture suits.
I'm shocked they didn't have ping pong balls taped to them.
I couldn't get over the fact when I realized that this wasn't one of those like green screen moments, that the rest of them was going to be gone and it was just their eyeballs. It was just a close up camera on their face.
Did they just make them do this so they had time to flip the room like at a wedding?
Yeah.
Did they have to build those like plywood arcades to put the little TVs in?
How mad were the two of you when the prize was announced and it was the combination of the things that the two of you hate the most as the prize? I actually sat there and paused for a second and I was like, how am I going to get through this with Alexander and Hannah's emotions?
Prize is a dinner with the most genius food at the bazaar with Sean Patterson.
So not only a dinner, and as you'll find out later, our least favorite loser thing, servitude, but also with a person we did not want to see more of.
No, well, and then lies.
We get an amazing read from Lulu, because this has to be a read, right? We're going to be sitting at a table with him. I was so shocked that the first challenge was such an amazing prize.
But also, Tyra says that he's their potential agent. No, he is not. He is the president.
He runs the agency. He's not an agent.
What is going on? Also, I think some people are like, well, I'm just not going to win this because I don't want to spend any time with Sean Patterson.
Was it not clear to y'all that there was just going to be like a winning team and a losing team?
No, not at all.
And also, real talk, is this why they eliminated Rachel?
Seems like it, because to also she
even
says,
teams.
She yeah. says it's a one-on-one time.
And then yes. not.
No.
So I wasn't even taking notes about like the winners for the first round because I was like, oh, this is going to be a full bracket situation.
Yes.
Full Walmart walk-off. Yeah.
And yes. then they were like, yes, yes, exactly.
Uh-huh.
And then they were just like, and we're done.
It should have been one person wins and they pick two friends.
Yes. The classic.
Tyra did not have time.
I do want to throw in a little bit of a fun thing in the midst of this madness, which is that in this episode, Captions Crunch kept dropping the final letters off from words when people would let them trail out. And it feels specifically like Captions is reading Top Model for being mean to Amina last cycle.
Love it. That didn't happen with mine, but I love that. I love it.
So Aaron v. Courtney.
Administer your masks, please. That's how I'm going to start saying it.
It's different. It's different now.
When you head into a store.
Yes, when I get on the subway.
Just
administer
announce.
Your masks, please.
Courtney wins. Lulu v. Ray. Lulu wins.
Can we talk about the little smize bars at the bottom of the screen?
We can, but then I have to say how Lulu wins. Please.
Just smizing apparently doesn't happen in an instant. You got to smize harder and harder and harder until you achieve full smize.
In a video game where you have to keep pressing a button to make the action.
Smize.
You know what always made those better? Turbo buttons, so you could just press easily. And hold.
And then when Lulu wins, Tyra goes, Lulu, you've got it. You won. Hooray. Tyra says, hooray. It's so Tyra is on. It went from giving so much shit to giving nothing.
Nope.
Because she tired herself out.
Yeah. Too much character work.
Mm-hmm.
Sunday v. Laura. Laura wins because we didn't talk about it before. Laura is immediately amazing at smizing.
Yeah.
I think Laura's happy. I think that's why.
That's the secret.
Laura's like, I was always thinking of food. I just love food. Every time I look in the mirror, I'm just like, eggs.
Cara v. Nicole. Cara wins. Brittany v. Ashley. Brittany wins. And then Bianca v. Jennifer. Now they're told they can use their body to smize.
Mm-hmm.
Jennifer's arms fully extend.
Well, we know how much she loves a hard lean.
True.
And Bianca wins, despite Tyra, I think.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
We hear you have got her. Bianca got her.
Got her.
She got her.
Got her good. So that's our winning team and our losing team, because this is as over as quickly as it begins.
Because Tyra quits halfway through.
Oh, yeah.
So they're going to go to the bazaar, which is in a hotel.
And they say that Sean picked out the dresses, which seems so creepy. And I hope it isn't true.
They're from Melissa Massey.
Who, her current collection is clothes that you can that could be worn out, but the focus is comfort and looking good at home.
Hey.
Eh, I like it.
I love a formal pajama.
This is the moment I realized just how much Courtney we were getting. And I was like, oh no, I see the writing on the walls.
They clearly go to this restaurant because this is the hotel that Sean is staying at, right?
Yeah, that feels right.
Fun fact, Michael Voltaggio was the chef de cuisine when it opened.
Oh, cool.
It is now closed. And there is a lawsuit between the hotel and the restaurant. Fun thing, though. So it was, the bazaar was
what,
the
lawsuits
main,
aren't fun?
I mean,
that was all fun, Alexander. I don't know, when did the fun stop?
It does involve a multi-level marketing hotel scheme. So that's fun. Bazaar opened in 2018 with molecular gastronomy-focused Spanish-influenced food. And then they opened, they opened a tasting menu hidden behind the main dining room. Which
the menu was hidden? Or was it like a room?
A room.
Okay.
Like you could go in and get a hidden tasting menu.
Mm.
So it's like a mystery. And then they named that
restaurant. Did you know it was available to you? Or did you have to search the restaurant? Is this clues. An escape room?
There were clues around Los Angeles. But then that tasting menu, hidden tasting menu, became its own restaurant within the restaurant.
Guys, I'm just going to say it. How bizarre.
How bizarre.
You know what? They're planning to bring it to New York in 2022.
What was the name of it? What was the name of the secret restaurant?
Somni.
Somni.
Somni. S-O-M-N-I. Okay. Somni.
I loved that Bianca, when she was looking at the outfits for the losing team, says, I think we're going to be waitresses and waiters. And I sat there and I created a character skate for myself where five of the losers were waitresses and then Sunday was a waiter who just came in like
a city waiter.
Hey girls, it's me Sunday. Like, did a full her own character. She's like, I'm gonna make my own fun.
I'm Sunday Rose. I am.
I'll be taking your food order tonight. Jennifer is done. Because she says that the other girls are ordering their food and drinking Chardonnay. Hard cut to them drinking Chardonnay.
Giving the editors everything they want.
I do appreciate that it seems mostly like the girls who are forced to do dishes, which I guess could also have been a name for this episode, mostly seem like they're having fun.
Yeah.
But were they told by producers to act all grossed out?
Yes. I think they were trying to have fun. That was absolutely a note. I think they were told to act super disgusted, decided to have fun with it, and then washed like
a dish.
Six and a half dishes.
Honestly, the punishment seemed like they had more fun than the dinner.
That way
dinner
was more fun with
awkward.
Sean, maybe I'm not such a bastard after all, Patterson.
And they all have to go.
Well, and they ask questions that he gives non-answers to.
He's the least helpful person.
Talk to me. Just talk to me when you walk in a room.
Do you have a lot of petite models working at your agency currently? And the answer would always be this crazy non-answer like, well, yes, because I have models that work and models who don't work because models are modeling.
What? How many of them are short? Sean.
Well, what is short? Anyway, one of you is going to be eliminated. Ha ha ha. I pulled a gentle prank. Was that fun? And Bianca is not here for it.
No.
And goes, don't do that.
I have this love-hate relationship with Bianca. And this leads into what happens at the house. But I'm like, a lot of times I'm like, you're not wrong. But you sometimes...
I'm pretty on the side of love with Bianca, especially about how hard the show is going to shenanigan
well,
her.
Well, that's what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. So which leads back, us into Dishgate.
They go back to the house. They get a third tire revolt.
In some professions, being small is a big advantage.
Someone calls it another beautiful note we do not understand. So Bianca is...
I'm a little confused about what happens.
Okay. This is what happens. Someone turned the dishwasher on after packing it incorrectly and too full. Sure. So some of the dishes, because it wasn't done correctly, were not clean.
No,
so Bianca,
the plate that Bianca holds up and says is dirty is in fact dirty.
Yeah. So Bianca thought, oh, the thing is dirty. I will put a dirty thing with these other dirty things. And then who is it?
Jennifer. Says, like, no, there was steam. Steam means clean.
To be fair, Jennifer is also not wrong.
Neither of them are wrong. That's the worst part of this argument.
But it's also, sorry, we're putting a lot of words into describing the silliest fight. It felt so silly to me.
It was a very college roommate.
Nobody
fight.
Seemed that heated, except for Ashley, who was not involved.
Well, get ready.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jennifer and Bianca were just... tired.
Yeah, I think they were, forgive me, blowing off some steam.
And done with dishes.
Yes. Very done with dishes.
Yeah, I was so annoyed by how packed this dishwasher was. As a dishwasher owner now.
Craig.
Y'all, listeners, I was there for Alexander describing his first post-dishwasher experience. And he was just like, look how clean this glass is.
I felt so bad for my friends the first time I pulled out my first round of dishwashing because I was like, oh, I've just been a slob who always fed my friends on the dirtiest plates and glasses I've ever had before.
It's so funny. Ashley says Bianca has no tact whatsoever. And that's a characteristic that I believe needs to change. What a weird way to phrase that, Ashley.
Because Ashley is new Lisa, because she sucks.
Ashley, no. Lisa was not a charmer. Ashley, this is her journey towards being kind of the first half of the season villain.
Yes. Yeah, I think that's unfair to Lisa, honestly.
I'm just saying I didn't like Lisa. And I need to pivot that anger to someone else.
I think it's so funny sometimes, Alexander, when I get so tickled that the people you seem the most disgusted with are the least characterized people. And it truly just makes me, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm asking a serious question. Yeah. Are your least favorite people on reality shows just people who end up getting a nothing edit?
A nothing edit, but they suck a lot of the times. Okay. Like, it's like, oh.
I feel like you're giving them so much life. And I respect that
because
makes the show more fun.
Yeah, no one's talked about Lisa this much ever.
So the next day, I saw a new pool statue. And I'm pretty sure it's a mouse balancing a ball on its nose.
Can you imagine after they moved in, we're just going to see more and more circus-based statues because some stuff hadn't arrived yet. And just every so often... Maybe every time they open the Tyra vault, there's also a statue that gets delivered, and they're like, you have to
they're like, we group
the
them there. We group them at the vault to put something at the pool.
You know, a model leaves, a circus statue appears.
Oh no, it's the White Queen's garden.
That statue is Rachel.
She did have a mousy energy to her.
I love this. Hold up. What if that happened, but always there was some cryptic like engraving on it that's like, she didn't have a song in her heart.
And she was sent home.
Home.
Was she?
So the girls took at least hour long journey to Santa Anita.
I got the most helpful captions crunch. Oh. My caption says specifically, trumpet plays call to post. Never knew the name of the song they play at the racetrack. Hmm. Apparently it is called Called to Post or First Call. And apparently it started as something that lets soldiers or sailors know they have 5 minutes to gather together for morning or evening colors.
That's interesting.
That's a very fun fact.
Mm-hmm. Never knew. Thanks, Captions Crunch.
You want a not fun fact?
Sure.
Sure.
Santa Anita Racetrack was used in the Japanese American detention.
Ooh.
And George Takei was there.
Wow.
Whoa. Mm-hmm.
Also, 30 horses have died in separate events at the facility, which has led to a lot of rule changes.
Well, I would hope so.
But a grouping of jockeys, trainers, and breeders is called horsemen. Is called a horseman.
A horseman of jockeys?
Yeah. A grouping is called a horseman.
I love plural nouns. I love them. I used to have a poster behind my toilet that told me all of them. We're at the Breeders' Cup.
I didn't like that name.
And this is the start of some of the photo shoots being themed around famous shorties.
He compares them to Seabiscuit.
Seabiscuit!
And the only one that is here for that.
The short horse that beat all the odds and still came out on top is how Mr. J summarizes the story of Seabiscuit.
I wish Mr. J had said Seabiscuit, who beat all those tall bitches. The only one that is here for any of these short stories and jokes and comparisons is Ray. Ray's mom energy is just like, I get it.
Lots of sympathetic nodding.
Oh.
There are too many layers to this photo shoot. Too many layers.
There's a horse.
Mm-hmm.
There's a jockey.
Uh-huh.
And wait, what? Because there needs to be fashion. There's nudity. And the only one who's excited about nudity is Laura.
I knew she was a secret freak.
I love her. When they interview her later and she's like, I'm excited because I like being nude.
I like nudity.
She just likes it. I love her.
I love Laura so much.
There's one redeeming Ashley quote, and it is when they are practicing, and Ashley, to no one specific, just goes, smize me again. And I want to start saying that to people all the time. Just like, smize me. Now smize me again. Now get out there.
We get so many new people this episode.
So many.
I think this is going to be a running theme. So new makeup artist Sharon Galt, who has done makeup, did Madonna's touring hairstyle from in the 80s and 90s.
Explains what happens to Ray.
Uh-huh. He seems delightful, though.
Yeah.
New wardrobe is Joanna Conjavad, and she currently works as the hairstylist for America's, or for the wardrobe stylist for America's Got Talent.
Cool.
Yeah. We also, the photographer is Firuza Hadi, Persian, so obviously love. He seems fine, but let me tell you about Firuz. He was started
that
working.
That is not the name of his memoir.
Well,
let me tell you about.
Let me tell you about Firuz. He was the photographer for Interview Magazine while in art school. He also came to be friends with Elizabeth Taylor and took photos of her in Iran. He then went to Hollywood as her personal photographer. He shot for Vanity Fair. He's done covers for Barbara Streisand's albums, including Release Me, Love is the Answer, and Timeless. He also shot the movie posters for Pulp Fiction, Edward Scissorhands, Adam's Family, Get Shorty, Jackie Brown, and the cover.
Not Get Shorty.
And the cover for My Passion for Design by Barbara Streisand, the basis of Buyer and Seller.
Oh, that's great.
Well, he's about to get shorty. Sorry.
I know. Thank
Didn't
you.
Like goodbye.
No, I was setting it up, and I'm so glad you hit it all out of the park with my
pitch.
That's
what I'm here for.
Yep.
Hitting it out of the park is generous. That felt like a solid T-ball smack, but thank you.
Up, up, up. Ground rule double. Double, double. Firuz only gets credited as doing black and white photography, though, which is such a weird thing to show when that's not what this is.
Yeah.
I thought he had some really nice moments on set, and I'll point them out when we get to it, but I liked him.
The star, though, Norman the jockey.
Norman Rodriguez.
Norm, who it's so funny that Ray does to him what all these short models must hate are being done to them throughout this cycle. Mm-hmm.
Ray does to him what drunk people used to do to me on the way home from the City on the Path train when I had to go through Hoboken before getting to the city.
A pat on the head.
Lean your elbow on top of my head when the train was packed.
Oh, that's gross.
It was gross.
Yikes.
Oh, hey, I'm so sorry that happened to you.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. That's one of the main reasons I stopped bartending in New York City.
Ugh. Norman's hilarious. And only gets like one line later, but he's like, yeah, they're there to shoot with a jockey, but it's also because someone needs to control the horse.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because Norm seems like he's having a great time. Some photos he steals, and some photos he puts his full back to the camera.
Yeah.
Jennifer won't let Jay get away with being a bitch.
I was so proud of Jennifer for this.
Yep. Because he makes her show him
her smize.
Okay.
And then says, oh, that looks kind of drunk, but okay. And starts to leave.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And Jennifer says, no, no, no. What makes it drunk? You have to tell me.
You can't just say something mean and walk away.
Yeah.
And it's almost like Jay doesn't know how to respond.
Yep.
Because it's like, that's not what I do. I psych you out right beforehand.
I'm not here to make your photo shoot better.
Yeah.
We'll say one kind of fun thing before we get into this terrible thing. We find out what Mr. J's delicious thing is to smize. Boys.
Oh.
And then Bianca comes to set with this wig.
Well, we get a full hard ADR because I guess they figured out watching this episode back. Not even watching this episode back. They figured out sometime between the photo shoot and panel that they needed to cover their ass where Bianca was concerned.
Mm-hmm.
So we get a full ADR, the first we've heard of this in the shoot.
Yep.
That you're in this wig because it's supposed to match the color of the horse's mane.
When? Also, there's other horses with different colored manes.
And even if it were true, this wig is the stringiest piece of dental floss I have ever seen in my life. It literally looks like a clip-on I used to have for my Barbie.
Yeah, that you washed and didn't realize you weren't supposed to get wet.
Uh-huh.
And everyone's getting piles of hair put on them. Mm-hmm. But everyone else gets
hair.
Either they're like, well, except for Courtney, which we'll talk about.
Another terrible wig.
Yeah. But like in general, it looks reminiscent of their real hair. And they were just trying to upset Bianca, right?
Yeah, no, this is
trying to see if she complain.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Cute little test just for Bianca.
And then to double down so hard for Mr. J to take this super transphobic take on Bianca's shoot, calling her She-Man, then brings up ISIS for some reason. And we have, like, I hope ISIS got paid for the appearance in this episode.
Yeah, that's the only good thing that could come from this.
Yeah, I just, that was, you don't see it coming.
No.
And then it is a hard transphobic take. And we, in general, there was definitely weak points. But we all, I think, felt like the show treated ISIS mostly respectfully.
Mostly let her do her thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And to kind of sully that.
Mm-hmm. To use her as a prop for a transphobic bit.
I'm going to say it with this take and with his book. I think Mr. J has a problem with transgender people.
I mean, certainly not creating narratives that discredit that opinion, Alexander. Right?
Because it was, and he kept going on. I was like, well, this has to be the end of it. This has to be the end. And then he would do another thing. And I'm just like, you need to stop. You're not funny. You're not being cute. Mm-hmm. You're just being hateful.
Mm-hmm. To palate cleanse to something that's fun, stupid. Mr. J says that Britney gave him Italian Vogue literally. What does literally mean? For I kind of get,
she handed him one.
Yeah. I would say
I was studying this.
She looked like a dark Sicilian woman.
And then she vogues literally. Yes. Yes. She gave me an Italian Vogue, which was, but just hands on
with meatballs for some reason.
Yeah, Italian Vogue is that you make the speaking hands, but then you just put them next to your face.
You do the compact Vogue thing, but you don't actually open your hands.
So stupid.
You do a duck walk.
Lulu seemed so nervous. I don't know if Lulu might have been like scared of the horse.
That's what it seemed like.
Well, yeah. Surprised we didn't hear anybody about that, because I'm scared of horses. I'll say it right now.
Oh, I was on a dance film shoot where I was surprised into having to ride a horse.
And yeah, they're like, dancing, Alexander.
That should never be a thing.
Yeah, I was doing a dance film in the desert. And they're like, okay, and you're going to be on this horse. And I was like,
was it dressage?
No, it was just ride off into the sunset horse. And so I had to get on the horse.
Alexander, were they just asking you to... an Olympic event.
Ride off into the sunset horse.
Yes.
Alexander, were they just asking you to leave? We're just like, you should just get on this horse.
Hate.
Did you have to return the horse? That's the question.
No, I still have the horse to this day. That's why I had to get a bigger apartment.
And then the biggest controversy is that Courtney gets upset because Jay makes her model in her boot. Right. And the thing is, Courtney, I'm ready to not like Mr. J. We just did 10 minutes on me not liking Mr. J. This is a liability issue.
That's what bothers me.
Yeah. Also, if you're going to be mad about anything, Courtney, join the Bianca camp and be mad about that wig. Because they decided, oh, Courtney, red hair, also got a red-haired makeover. Dark, long, not at all like related to your skin or body or anything.
The horse.
Was there not a wig stylist? We got a hairstylist.
I don't think there was a wig
stylist. But I think they were just plopping wigs on because there were so many visible hairlines.
This is fully the ring. This is too much.
Mm-hmm.
Which just also doesn't... Hold up. I'm sorry. I need to talk about the wigs for a little bit longer.
Yes, please.
How come some folks got ones that
match?
Because we've talked it. Yeah, exactly. I don't have the proper like language for it, and maybe one of you do, but like it's so, one of the main things that I've learned in Top Model is that there's a naturalness to some wigs, and some of that's quality and styling and whatever, but it's also just one that like it's a color of hair that in some way, shape, or form can realistically like kind of align with your overall appearance, skin tone, etc. And I'm not saying there's not a place for hair colors that aren't like what we quote unquote think of with certain skin tones. I'm just saying like it's such a stronger choice when everyone else was getting hair that was like reminiscent of the hair they already had on their head.
I think most of that has to do with application of mm-hmm. these wigs that aren't just plopped, and sometimes we'll just plop it with a hat.
Bianca's did not even look like a full wig. It looked like some stray weave that was just like lying in the bottom of a box somewhere.
It looked
somewhere.
Like when you have a costume wig and you run a brush through it and you pull out fibers mm-hmm. and you just start pulling them out. It's like they took that, the wig ball, and then just sat it on her head.
And then even with people whose wigs matched the hair that they currently have, like you could see Sunday's hairline and then her wig line.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And also Jennifer's, especially for some reason, red, real, not styled.
They talk about Jennifer's eyes, of course, later in the episode. The wig is the issue.
Yes.
It was just a mountain of hair.
Set so far back on her head.
Yeah.
In addition to the wigs not being put on correctly, they didn't prep their hair correctly to have a wig put on them.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. Because I want to be clear to anyone listening. I'm not saying that blonde hair on a black woman can't look fabulous. We've seen that plenty of times.
Sure.
But like, it's just...
It was also the thirst of that wig.
Yeah. That it was just the wig itself. I never realized like... wig quality, I guess, until I started watching Top Model with this mm-hmm. kind of like more critical observant eye, and now I'm like, oh, I can tell the difference. And I don't know how to word it, but I could just tell something was so wrong this entire journey.
Oh yeah.
Is this because we don't have Sutan anymore? Is this because of someone we don't have anymore?
Christian Mark isn't there, I guess.
Yeah.
Skullbox. Brittany hates Courtney. Brittany hates Courtney.
Mm-hmm. I didn't disagree with Brittany.
No,
I didn't either.
I think there's something.
Although it was a very stereotypical like boyfriend girlfriend fight, where she's like, "I'm just trying to vent, and you never support me." It was very that.
I'm not going to give Brittany a full pass, but it seems like a lot of these women don't like Brittany. Maybe it's an energy. I'm just putting out there. Maybe there's an energy Brittany gives off that is. Really...
I do think some of it's a competition thing.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. I'm not saying Brittany's a horrible person.
I don't know why
the focus of so many of these, like,
I don't know why Brittany put her energy into Courtney.
Right.
That I don't know why.
I think one thing that Jennifer and Brittany might have in common, because Brittany's my like super stand for no reason person. Sure.
I like Brittany.
Yeah. I know why. She's Top Model math. I understand why I like Brittany. Brittany and Jennifer have this same kind of attitude. And Bianca has a little bit of this too, where none of them like suffer fools.
Mm. No.
And Brittany's like, no, 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 no. Courtney, you can't blame everything on everything else, especially when the boot thing is so stupid and so clearly you're in the wrong. And I'm just not going to let you have it.
Nope.
Let's skip it though. Straight to private panel.
Looking good, looking good. Welcome to our second judging.
Why didn't she go like, looking good, welcome to the neighborhood or something?
Because Tyra can't rap.
I think being super smize fried her.
It does seem like she's running on like a half tank of gas. Her
cosmic energy is depleted. She is looking more like an adult, which I appreciate. The outfit wasn't bad.
How do y'all feel about Tyra's hair?
I don't. I know that Hannah said that she likes Tyra's dark hair.
I liked it in the last episode. I thought it looked a little tired this episode.
Yeah, it did, right?
Yeah, there's something going on with it. Like, the wig is aging.
I do like her fashion choices more so far.
Yes. The wig is...
And then... Miss J so relevantly asks, and you realize just how little communication was happening on set at Top Model, apparently, because Tyra instructs the girls to smize. And then Miss J says, can I ask you a question? What the hell is schmize?
Schmize. Schmize.
Hard CH in the middle of that.
She tells him, and his response is, poor Miss J needs a friend. Miss J needs a Twiggy. Miss J needs a Paulina.
Yeah.
It's not fair. Because he just says, Lord have something. Tyra Dunn did it again.
Not mercy. Something.
Something.
I don't know how you feel about her, but our guest judge is someone I always really like. She's nothing in this episode.
Why was she here?
I didn't watch any of the shows. I have no connection.
I didn't either. I like Lauren Conrad, our guest judge, because every time I've seen her in an interview, she seems like she almost miraculously is a real person. Was everyone else kind of from that, like, and have I listened to every single one of Heidi Montag's singles? Absolutely. I'm not saying I'm not a good person. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like, Lauren Conrad seems like almost too real of a human being to be on Top Model.
Like, are you well adjusted?
Yeah.
Do you have better things to do that are also normal, like going grocery shopping?
Yes. I
like,
believe that she actually does the jobs that they say.
Yes, she does. And also, because I had to, I looked up Lauren Conrad, like, what is she up to recently? I couldn't find a ton, except that Heidi Montag is still, last week, still talking about Lauren Conrad and their feud. And then she brings up things like, she could be a billionaire if she really wanted to. And I'm like, she doesn't. Leave her alone.
Yeah.
Let her just be her rich.
Lauren Conrad forgot about you forever ago.
She is married to someone named William Tell, and that's fun.
Yeah,
it's fun.
Anyway, but I will say this, though. She is nothing in this episode. She barely says anything.
No.
I think, you know, and again, it'll start this irrelevancy of the guest that have nothing to do with the episode at all, except they're a fun person that the girls might recognize.
Yeah, it just seems like something short. CW wanted to advertise.
Sure.
Yeah.
I wish they were all short.
Yeah, that would make sense. Too much sense, really.
Yeah.
I want to look up Lauren Conrad's height. She is 5'4".
Oh, well.
Okay. So, I wish they had brought it up.
Really.
Indeed.
She should have said all those accomplishments that had nothing to do with height, and she's only 5'4". A designer, a businesswoman, and 5'4". Lauren Conrad has it all.
Kara's photo.
It's fine.
See, I
think Norm steals this one.
Yes, I think the photo itself is bad. I don't think that's her fault.
In what way?
It feels like a first shot. Like, it feels like they were figuring out how the photo is supposed to work.
I just don't think she's doing very much.
She isn't. She's kind of doing what she always does.
I do kind of like, to your point, Hannah, about Norm stealing the shot. I like that they're kind of related.
That they're, like, looking the same way?
Yeah, and he's barely related for most of these.
Yeah, she feels like she's the owner of this horse and he is her jockey.
Right. Mm-hmm. Something like that. It's a fine shot. I'm always a little pleasantly surprised with how Kara's photos turn out, honestly. I don't know why I expect her to be more of a clunker, but they're usually pretty good.
She looks a lot like Misha Barton to me here.
Yeah. Also, her hair doesn't match this horse's mane.
No, it does not.
Nope.
So, bullshit on that.
Oh, yeah.
Ashley is next.
I mean,
the photo aside, mm-hmm. this, as we find out, was them testing the lighting. And Tyra, and I love that they did this, shows the unretouched version where they had to take a full person out.
I love when she shows the unretouched photo. She goes, "That is a guy with the horse in the background." Adding nothing to the discussion.
But also, no, the
can
guy.
Can you see the difference?
The guy is behind the horse. The horse is not in the background behind the man.
Well, he's with the horse in the background.
I'm just going to say it right now. Ashley should have gone home this episode. Uh-huh. This is egregious. Because it's not a good photo anyway.
No.
No,
this was her best and it was still bad.
They should have shown one of her bad shots, in my opinion. I don't. Like, if it was so good in a situation where you're so good, you were modeling even during the test shot and it turned out amazing, sure.
Right.
I think you need to judge her on what she actually did, which was apparently very bad.
They photoshopped her into this photo.
Yeah.
She could have been anywhere.
Yeah, I just...
But I want to see how apparently bad that is. I want to actually see it.
I hear what you're saying, Hannah. I can't believe she makes it through this episode when this seems so over the top bad
because legal got involved. JW, legal got involved.
Well, and she didn't need to be taught a lesson yet. It's being implied that she will need a future lesson because of the dancing.
Oh no.
Jennifer is next. This is the first actual photo. I think they're throwing too many tips at Jennifer during her panel. We needed to take some time between the tips.
My biggest problem with this is the wig
is
way it's sitting on her head.
It's so far back.
I like her pose. I like how casual she is on top of that horse.
And I'm going to say, from a close-up, yeah, I see what they're saying. But from a long shot, her expression's quite nice.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a story of this picture. Also, these patent leather booties are, like, not hideous.
Yeah, I mean, this kind of seems like a shoe shot.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like you could sell something.
Yeah. It's not my favorite, but it's like fifth or sixth place, no. Great.
Yeah, mm-hmm. For sure. Lulu is next.
Blurb.
And Lulu, picking up on Miss J's language, uh-huh. Says, I think I schmeiss.
That's that gay camaraderie coming out from auditions.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God, I love the thought that she's like, straight smize, gays schmeiss.
Norman and the horse look great.
Oh my God, it's gorgeous.
Lulu,
what sucks. A relationship.
Yeah.
What is this pose? She's so slumped.
It's nothing.
Yeah. She looks like she's about to tip off the horse.
Also, the hair also does not match the mane.
Oh, no. Oh,
no. Not even a little.
That's not a thing.
No.
And I know you're saying that too, Alexander, but yeah. Like this excuse they came up with, oh, I never thought I'd be so angry about wigs. That seems like it's my whole thing now.
Brittany is next. And yowza.
Ate this up.
Awooga.
Crazy.
This doesn't look real.
No, it doesn't.
It also sells shoes and head bow.
Head pile, uh-huh.
The biggest fascinator.
And it's a little, it's early, but in private panel, Lauren is like, how did this happen?
Yeah, she's like, it looks photoshopped. And I agree. It almost makes it not a good picture because she's so good at it.
I will say, Norman looks like he's looking at her and going, how are you doing that?
Norman looks worried. Norman looks like I look like when I let my baby stand.
She's going to fall right off that horse.
It's like very ready to catch.
It's amazing, though.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And we get another Tyra modeling H to T head to toes, honey.
Is this the first H to T?
It's the first non-casual H to T.
Oh, I love it.
With an explanation. Mm-hmm. I also think this fascinator helps this wig because it hides the hairline.
Agree.
And she has to wear a corset that no one else really had to wear. So mm-hmm. She had panties and a corset, and her mm-hmm. boob is looking
maybe
large.
That's what's propping up the upper half of her body.
Maybe.
She figured out the math of that bosom.
Bianca is next, and you know what? This is not the worst.
I'm going to say I love the body.
Before we even get to the shot, I just want to say, she says, I can't wait to see myself with blonde hair. And I think she is trying to be cute and have fun.
I think she is.
I agree. I didn't read that because she even smiled afterwards. Uh-huh. Like it didn't read to me like this whole thing. And they cut hard to Miss J like, And I'm like, I don't even think that shot was there.
No.
I like her body. I also think she takes makeup quite well because mm-hmm. that ruby red lip mm-hmm. is gorgeous.
Her face isn't bad either. They get on this whole thing that like your face isn't good. Your body's fine. But like.
Her body, she's selling the boots. The boots look great. Her body looks great. If you Photoshop out the wig
yeah,
in your mind and leave her with a hat on her head, it works and it's fine. Is it the best? No, but it's top half, I would say.
Me too. Yeah. Me too.
And like, as bad as the wig is, she's working through it.
It also, because of the way she positioned her body to me, it's one of the few, and this wasn't the goal really, but it's one of the few that almost looks like it's in motion.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. She looks almost like she's riding the horse.
Yeah. They do her dirty.
Yeah. She couldn't get out of this. There was nothing she could do.
No. Laura is next.
And if Brittany had competition, here it is.
I will say, there is a very weird energy about this, only because he is also on the horse. So it's very cramped up on mm-hmm. the horse for some reason.
I don't love the shoulder thing that they all love just because it makes her neck go away.
But her face
is so stunning.
It's so good. And also she, and it's probably because of her comfort level with it, but she's also one of the most nude.
Yeah.
And yet
well, she's also in like a sheer panty.
And also, but for some reason, also this doesn't read particularly like nude to me. Like there's nothing trashy about it to me.
No, it does feel like
capable on the horse. They look like they're about to go do some sort of horse related crime together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they do look like lovers on this horse.
I will say this was a photo shoot that was I'm glad Laura succeeded because it was tailor made for her. She loves horses and has one. And she also loves nudity. So if this had been even average, I think that would have been a real bad sign for Laura. So luckily she's quite good.
But this is also the problem with this photo shoot. No one knows what they're supposed to be judging. Are they judging the smize? Are they judging the topless? Are they judging the posing? Are they judging the, like, there's too much.
I love the phrase, are you judging the smize? Are you judging the topless? Every day, I think it's one of those two things.
Gotta pick one.
I'm going to tell y'all right now, that's the only binary.
Smize or topless?
Everything else is a spectrum. Smize or topless is the only binary.
Sunday is next.
Sunday needs to quit it with the scarves. Leave your scarf at home.
I mean, I'm sure it's cold.
Sunday is sun night because she...
Because they made Norm keep his chains on.
Because she... Oh, could Norm not smize? Is that the tragedy?
Norm, it's like Norm in this looks like he's from the future and this is his like VR visor.
You were so sad.
I was.
Oh, God. Can Norm not smize?
Has he never had delicious food or sex?
That would be sad.
Yeah. But this is a fine picture.
I like it.
There's something about Sundays that, like, I know this sounds so stupid, but she always does read way smaller than everybody
always.
Else.
Always. She seems like a child.
I do like the kind of sway of her body, though.
I actually like her face, too.
Mm-hmm. I don't like, and maybe this is also just a styling thing, every time they've put the women in, like, a skirt, it makes them look more naked.
I agree with that.
Yeah, sure.
I just kind of wish she had dropped the arm that's pinching the horse's mane.
Yeah, that hand.
Oh, see, it's the arm that's gently caressing its butt that I don't like as much.
Just drop one of them for sure.
Yeah. It's just also so weird that she went last. So it's just at night.
Holy. Ray is next.
I don't know if this is going to be a popular opinion. I love this photo. I think there's something so cool about it. I also love that it just looks like she smashed the jockey's face into
like she's riding the jockey. This is clearly the first shot of the day because there's a different background.
Yeah.
Also, I think so much of Ray is covered. This is why I don't like this photo that much.
I do like the story I'm creating in my head where like, she's like, come with me if you want to live, and there are bullets flying at them, and she pushes them down and then like repels the bullets with the power of her smize and her black widow veil
with a tiny floppy cowboy hat.
I also will say, because this is the secret challenge of every photo shoot, I think she looks pretty long and tall.
Yeah. She got a little bubble butt too.
She got a little help from the perspective of the horse.
Yes.
Well, who among us hasn't gotten help from some perspective?
You know what, I just need you to have a little horse perspective.
So I understand all the horse girls in the world.
Yes.
What's their horse perspective?
Nicole is next. She looks fully naked.
Oh.
Fully naked.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I'm sorry. I don't like this one because I think the pose is so stupid. It looks like she's telling the horse a secret about the jockey.
He's trying to listen in.
Norm's never had delicious food or sex.
I just think Norm shouldn't have been in this shot, and then it's fine.
Maybe.
Because it kind of looks like he's looking down her butt. Not at her butt, down her butt.
Down her butt.
I think this is a really unflattering pose, too.
I think her face looks pretty amazing.
Yes, her face always looks good.
I wish it was only the close-up. I wish it was just horse face, Nicole face, no body.
Yeah.
But this is the one where they just lose their minds over, see, the hair is the hair of the horse.
This isn't a thing we just thought of.
See, Bianca, are you listening, Bianca?
But also feathers? She's turning into an owl or from an owl into a naked woman?
Oh, that's the children's book. It was a horse and an owl, and their friendship made the owl turn into a real person. But the tragedy is the horse can never.
It stayed in its animorph form too long.
Yeah.
Toby, no. Aaron is next.
How do we still have photos?
I don't know.
We eliminated a full woman already.
So many of them.
Aaron has decided she is taking this horse for her own, and she is pushing it back.
This is definitely the best of the ground shots, the on the ground shots.
Yeah, she looks like she's protecting her horse. Yeah.
Like they're turning it into glue, and she says, no, not my horse.
She's Khaleesi, mother of horse.
Oh sure. My God, she is.
Yeah.
Her lips look great.
Yeah, they do.
Aaron also takes makeup really well.
Well, it's no eyebrows.
Yeah.
And it looks like Norman is like, I mean, they can take the horse.
Yeah, whatever. It looks like Norm fell asleep.
Maybe
she's
that's...
like, she's supposed to be protecting the horse too. And she's like, Norm. And he's like, what?
She's grabbing his foot.
Maybe that's why the sunglasses are there. He's always asleep. You needed to put like awake eyes on the sunglasses. Smizing awake eyes.
No, she does very well. This is good.
This is her best photo so far.
She's also got muscular legs.
Mm. Yeah. And then Courtney.
I'm going to say it right now. I like this photo.
This photo is not bad.
It's not bad.
The hair is
bad. It's not in the top, but I actually really like her expression. And there's something kind of demure about the whole thing that I appreciate. It's Norm's worst photo.
Yeah, he's a little Gollum.
Yeah.
Also, this thing on the top of her head makes it look like it's part of the wig.
Oh, my God. That loofah?
Yeah. Yes.
It does kind of, actually. It looks like bangs that were just having a bad humidity day.
And the editors hate Brittany because they're going to edit in an unrelated her smiling while Courtney gets critique.
Mm-hmm. Totally, clearly unrelated.
Well, you got to extend that. You got to milk the fight for all it's worth.
I think the worst thing about this photo is she looks a little short because she's like, whoop, her legs are up. But I think she looks quite good.
Yeah.
I apologize to go back to Aaron for just a sec, because you know how we need the little cracks of Aaron's villainy coming out?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. When Aaron gets praised, at the end, they go, thank you, Aaron. She goes, thank you. You'll survive another day panel.
I won't sick my horse on you.
Mm-hmm.
There is no horse pun.
No, I think they're dropping all other puns in favor of the continual short puns.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
They've extended a pun moratorium on anything that doesn't involve small or short.
They have a pun theme for the first time. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Private panel. Ray is apparently Madonna because cowboy hat. Okay.
Tyra lets us know, Ree Lulu, that when you smize, you don't do the lips.
My favorite athleisure brand is Ree Lulu.
I didn't write down.
That's upcycled Lululemon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. It's Ree Lulu. It used to be other Lululemon products, and now it's a yoga mat.
They say about Bianca, and of course, everything with Bianca is full fuckery. She has beautiful eyes. Sorry. This is so funny to me. She has beautiful eyes, and it's sad that she's not using them.
She's blind. She's willingly blind.
So much of what these things are things I hope I remember, so that one day I can come up to someone and be like, beautiful eyes. Shame you're not using them. Oh, I steal them in the end, right?
Yes.
Also, the excuse they give for Courtney, and this is Courtney's, you know what Courtney's biggest mistake was? Agreeing that she gave up.
Uh-huh.
You heard the death knell in the background as soon as she said
that's
it.
That's what you can't do. Nope. Because then it becomes you said it, and then bye-bye.
You can almost see the sepia tone starting to filter creeping onto that clip.
At the edges.
Yeah. Sunday is described as coming out of her shell. And I say, when was that shell created? I'd love to see it.
Miss J gives a perfect closing bit. Miss J says, I believe of Nicole, in my eyes, she can smize. And Tyra says, oh, honey, I do realize. Great. Cute. Cut. Go to the call out order.
Nope. Can't have it. Can't have nice things.
We've made a decision. Decision, haven't we, Nigel? Wait, give me a second here. Am I defeating you with my smize?
Lauren Conrad fully gets out of her chair to
she
leave.
She attempts to exit the bit.
Oh, she's like, I guess I'm done, right?
Well, you're going to have sex? Bye.
I'm not a part of this.
Oh, no. that we cut to a weird up camera shot of Jennifer. Why do we have this new tall angle?
Oh, well, that's why. Yes,
that's why. You said it yourself.
But everything else has been, let's see how short we can imply they are. It's weird.
Yeah.
Call out order. Aaron is first.
Wrong. No. Brittany won this.
Yes, Brittany did win it.
Brittany won. Yes. I'm saying I think that Brittany won. It's not implausible to me that Aaron got first call.
Yeah, I was furious because I feel like Brittany's not going to get a first call out. Mm. And I was like, how do you steal this from Brittany?
Mm-hmm.
She sure. died on that horse up there for you.
But see, she didn't do the secret challenge of smize. So Brittany is second.
Yeah.
Laura third.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Nicole.
Love her judging outfit. Want to throw that in here.
She dresses pretty well for judging in general. Mm-hmm. I think this is high for Nicole for me.
Yeah, I didn't like this photo.
But she did a melancholy smize. She did a
sad smize.
Yeah.
Got to add it to the list.
Then Kara, so high.
Yeah, that's for a photo I forgot.
Then Jennifer, low.
But, well, I'm actually fine with the placement. I'm surprised that the show put Jennifer here because because Jennifer's was
Jennifer.
All narrative.
Jennifer was ready to be in the bottom too.
Oh, yeah.
Jennifer's
yeah.
ready to go home, I think.
Then Sunday.
I mean,
sure. What are we at, seven?
I didn't like it. Yeah. And then Ray, which seemed low.
That does seem low.
Low.
Yeah.
For how they were talking about
it. No, I agree. It seems low to me, too.
Yeah.
Then Lulu. How did she stay on the bottom? And Ashley, also.
Those
Ashley,
are your bottom two right there.
Yes.
Ashley or Lulu, at least. One of the two should have been in the bottom two, if not both.
Which leaves Bianca and Courtney in the bottom. Which wrong.
Neither should have been.
No.
They should have been. I'm okay with both of them being in the bottom half.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to say here, and maybe I'll say it every episode, Bianca looks so good.
Mm-hmm.
And Bianca's ready to go home. Bianca is like, I was in the bottom two last week. I'm done. Let's get this over with.
Okay.
Well, and then this BS.
Oh, my God.
The judges are very perceptive. Again, you're thinking about your makeup and your hair and not being happy with it.
Did you see the wig, Tyra? Did you see the wig?
Bianca, we keep testing you with things that we don't test the other girls with, and you keep not succeeding with these extra bonus tests.
Then to Courtney, our hearts go out to this leg that is hurting.
Not you. Not you, Courtney.
Our hearts are with your leg.
My favorite Get Well card. My heart goes out to this leg that is hurting.
My favorite Celine Dion song. My heart's with your leg.
Oh my God. I actually started making lyrics in my head. I'm sorry.
Bring back y'all's cabaret show for that song
Short
alone.
Tall, you took a bad fall.
Oh, I'm kind of shocked by this elimination only because it seemed like they wanted to send Bianca home, but then they're like, drama, maybe, and also medical liability.
I honestly think it's a liability issue. 100%.
Their insurance ran out. Their insurance ran out.
And she says to Bianca that what she has to think is, my hair's the same color as that horse. What can I do to make this stellar?
And then when Tyra says to Courtney, come, no, I don't want you to walk anymore.
It really did run out when she like helps her off the runway.
Tyra just doesn't understand how hurt Courtney is, which is at this point not that much.
And then Courtney just says, I wish I didn't have a broken foot. And I'm like, yeah.
And we get a double fade out.
I forgot about this. And when there was a double whoosh, I was like, oh. So her name is Courtney Davies.
What about, are we not doing Rachel?
JW!
Give me 5 seconds.
I thought you were saving it for the end, so I didn't say anything in the middle.
No, me too.
Give me a second. Because I did look up stuff on her. I just forgot to type it in my notes.
Sure.
I did. There was like nothing. Starting with Rachel, who I fully forgot got eliminated in this episode. Her name is Rachel Echelberger. Echelberger. And I...
Echelberger.
Echelberger.
Echelberger, maybe. Mm. And if this is the correct Instagram account, it's funny to me because it's Ray spelled like our contestant Ray. Mm-hmm. Ray underscore Ray loves you.
Ray loves you.
Yeah. And she's got a lot of followers, I think, relatively with 5,000, but it's private and she hasn't accepted it yet. Her bio just says the little bit.
Well,
yep.
She is small.
Yep. And she, you know how we got some of those like post show, I didn't find a lot on Rachel, but you know how we got some of those post show, like right afterwards,
interviews.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She basically came across in all of them like she was too chill to be on reality television.
I mean, that tracks.
Like, and they were like, you stayed out of all the drama. And part of me was like, well, she was only on like two or three episodes, but still, yeah. And she was just like, yeah, I'm just really chill. I just wasn't into that. That wasn't what I was there to do. And she said, I learned to handle rejection. And that's something I'm going to need. I'm like, sort of, you learn to like handle the world's meanest rejection. But otherwise, I can find a lot on Rachel. There's a lot of folks who like on Reddit and otherwise are like, that's one of the most unfair eliminations ever. And I think we can all agree with that. And then our other person is Courtney Davies. Another person that I found some on, but it's not like long. Yeah, she's now the director of E-Style Casting, and her Instagram is Courtney Allison. And Allison is spelled A-L-I-C-E-N. So Alice with an N on it. So Courtney Allison, and that is her middle name.
It's like she's Allison out.
Exactly. I realized why I recognized her a little bit. I'm a Pretty Little Liars fan, and she had a 2-episode arc as a character named Quinn that I recognized.
Oh.
Not like a super prominent character, but enough that like she was involved in a small subplot.
My favorite Daria character.
And Quinn. And she had a spread in Glamour magazine, and there was some other stuff on Courtney. But yeah, Courtney, Rachel, in my quick Where Are They Now research, didn't have a lot going for them necessarily in terms of like, you know, modeling and that kind of stuff. It looks like Courtney went more the acting route.
Yeah, to kind of eulogize them both, I think it was unfair on both of their accounts to be eliminated when they were.
Yeah.
I think Courtney took 2 good photos.
Courtney just probably shouldn't have made it onto the show if they were that worried about liability.
Yeah. Yeah.
They should have said, come back next year. Well, they can't say that. So she got on the show. So
right. And then Rachel didn't like, did I love her first photo? No, but I don't think it was so bad that she should have been eliminated this way.
No.
Yeah. I don't like double eliminations. I don't like them in this regard anyway. I'd rather save it for a double elimination at panel.
Yes. Yeah,
for sure.
It feels like Top Model did that once and they were like, never again.
We can't. I mean, to be fair, they could never top it.
I do wonder if that's the reason for stuff like this.
But if you can top us, you should rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast.
Yeah, leave us that review.
Yeah.
We love hearing your hot takes, your iced tea. You can also reach out to us at podleadum.com or podleadum@gmail.com. So where you can send us an email, you can send us something to our PO box, which I will check, I promise.
Absolutely. I can't wait for the mountain of mail we have gotten.
The flood of size cream.
A flood indeed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can I say a little something about email real quick?
Yeah.
Okay. So if y'all don't know, I'm the one who responds. Now, I try to make that really clear, I think, by the virtue of me using the word y'all when I respond to you. It's not hard.
I also use y'all, but less hard than you.
Yeah. But nowadays, I'm the one who almost exclusively answers the emails. I share a lot of them, if not all of them, with Hannah and Alexander. And within like 48 to 72 hours, I check it like every 2 or 3 days, I respond to them. And we appreciate 99% of you send amazing, lovely, thoughtful emails. I want to say 2 things about emails, though. One, please don't send us spoilers.
Yeah.
Like we do film these episodes about 2 or 3 ahead of time, but like, there's been more spoilers than recent, and I love that you're excited to talk about future cycles of the show, and I don't want this comment to like stop, but especially these upcoming cycles, I want to watch them as fresh as I can.
And that's kind of what we've done with this show.
Bring back the big old spoiler alert so JW can bookmark you and save you for later, because of course we want your enthusiasm. Yeah.
And there's plenty of you that do that, which is way better. But just know that like I purposely haven't watched future cycles ever since we started this podcast.
No.
So now that we've been doing this for about 3 years, there are cycles that all the future cycles I haven't seen in at least 3 years.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, so they've gone out of my memory, and that's a good thing. I think you'll enjoy our comedy and our reactions there. The second thing I want to say about emails is that we love that you have different opinions on models and first callouts. I get it. None of you agreed that Wattel should have ever gotten a first call out. We get it. And most of you, and again, I don't want this to stop any of you and you to be like, was that talking about me? You know, if I was talking about you, and you send us your opinions. I was surprised. I love that email. I remember where someone was like, I was so surprised y'all didn't think Celicia had a great walk.
Right.
Like, cause I thought her walk was so great. Like those are so engaging and responsive and nice. And we read those just cursing us out. And by like, you're basically just cursing at me. Like, why the F do you think that you're so effing stupid? Like this, that, and the other.
Not chill.
I would invite you to just not listen to our show if it's bringing up that energy in you. And I know that this show is important to a lot of people. I'm not going to be cursed at, though.
No, all right. And there is plenty of other things, top model and otherwise, you can enjoy to fill that hole if that's the case.
Yeah, absolutely.
No one should be hate listening to this. Really?
Yeah, and I don't want to bring up those emotions in people. Those are things that I also I'm going to bear the brunt of that because I'm not sharing those with Hannah and Alexander because I'm not bringing down their day. So like
because that's what friendship is.
Yeah, and that's the last thing too is if any of you ever had a criticism, and I've heard the ones about me. Again, I read them. But if you're ever criticizing, Hannah and Alexander, my best friends. So. Mm-hmm. I'm on their side.
Yeah. You're not going to break up this trio and become the third host. Okay.
Yeah. And I want to be
pregnancy
clear.
Couldn't do it.
And I want to be Oscar cut it.
And wait I hope until he starts talking, Hannah.
And I hope listeners, if you've made it this far, this isn't coming across too harsh. I told Alexander and Hannah, I wasn't sure if I was going to bring it up because again, most days when I check it, we have a lot of emails that are all kind and funny and smart and great. It's why we've had multiple mailbag episodes. It's why we're going to read one at the start of the next episode we're about to record that I'm super excited about. I don't want you to think this is me saying don't communicate. Just like...
Don't harsh our vibe.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. 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 So, Alexander, Hannah, thank you for letting me say my piece on that.
Of course. You can find me anywhere at Yet Charming.
Can say hi on Instagram at Hannah Jane Ginsburg.
And come yell at me at Twitter now that I've stopped emails for being fun at JW Crow.
And be sure to use the hashtag PodLeadem whenever you do so that we can hear your lovely words and I won't have to block anyone.
Yay!
So for PodLeadem, I have been Alexander Price.
I'll be Hannah Jane Ginsburg.
And I'm JW Crump.
And we'll see you on top.
PodLeadem is not endorsed by America's Next Top Model, Tyra Banks, 10x10 Entertainment, or any of their subsidiaries. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. America's Next Top Model and all names, pictures, and audio clips are registered trademarks and copyrights of their respective trademark and copyright holders.